Welcome back once more to lesson study number 3, From Mystery to Revelation. Our Father in Heaven, once more, it's a joy to come into your presence as we study these topics together. We ask, Father, that you will guide us and lead us into understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, everybody. May the Lord be with you, and may the gracious God look after you. And today we are going to study lesson number 3 from first quarter 2020. The topic is From Mystery to Revelation. Memory text found in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. And in this chapter, we are going to ponder upon Daniel chapter 2. Last week, we studied chapter 1. Okay, how they were brought and how Nebuchadnezzar intended to change everything for what he wanted to change, what is the effect of food in our lives, and what was the blessings when we stand firm for God. And now we are going to study chapter 2. Let me read the text for your hearing. Daniel 2, 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might." Okay, it's a very, very popular and interesting lesson, because Nebuchadnezzar is directly involving here with his dream. And once again, even in the second chapter, God takes the history in control and puts his people as a firm and strong in faith. Okay, so we are going to ponder upon Daniel chapter 2. One of the chapters which changed many hearts to trust in God through world historical prophecy. Before we get into the deeper understanding of this chapter, we need to understand a question. So I'm going to ask that question. Okay, if you don't understand that, then probably we will find a bit difficult in understanding Daniel chapter 2 or lesson number 3. Question here: why did God give a dream to a pagan king, a heathen king? The dream, which has a complete history of both in BC and also in AD, is a very long prophetical historical dream or vision. And why did God choose the pagan or heathen king to have that dream? If I was, I would have given to Daniel, because they are faithful, they are very obedient to God. But rather, Daniel, he gave to King Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because the whole prophecy is from BC to AD. Such a long a dream, and also the historical input in the dream. Okay, I have one or two answers. Probably you can also think about or discuss about. God does not discriminate and neglect any community or culture. When God tried to implement his plan of salvation, he never excludes or he never discriminate people. In Elijah's life, a widow comes in. In Jesus' genealogy, Gentile comes in. In Boaz's history, a Gentile comes in. Therefore, God never discriminates any people when he tries to explain his plan of salvation. So God does not discriminate or neglect any community or culture. God loves everybody. God wanted even the heathen to know that's Jesus who controls the history. And number two, why did God give a dream to a pagan or heathen king? It is the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, which means Daniel and friends had not completed three-year degree course, which means God qualifies people to reveal the mystery of God, not through academic qualification, but with a relationship with him. Okay, number one is a dream. Point number two, who explains? It was Daniel who explains, interprets. When Daniel was interpreting, he did not complete his three-year degree. He was still a student. So this helps us to understand that in order to explain the plan of salvation, we don't have to be full qualified pastor, or we don't have to be full qualified scholar. God can use anybody, anytime, with any knowledge. God will never call qualified people to proclaim the gospel. But God qualifies those he calls. Also here, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. So he calls somebody, then he qualifies them. In the second chapter, he gives the dream. In the third chapter, we see his arrogance. But fourth chapter, a complete dramatic transition takes place because God brings him back. Okay, so why did God give a dream to a pagan or heathen king? Number one, God loves everybody equally. God considers everybody equally. God calls people so that they will be qualified. Okay, let's come into the lesson now. So we will study here with a few questions as usual. How do you contrast chapter 2, verse 8? When you read chapter 2, verse 8. And chapter 2, verse 16. Okay. So let's read some text here for your hearing. And let's try to find out some of the things. Daniel chapter 2, verse 8. Then I will read Daniel 2, verse 16. So Daniel chapter 2, verse 8 says, "The king answered and said, 'I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm.'" So when Daniel had a dream or a vision, he called all the magicians, Chaldeans and astronomers and all these people, and he asked them, "Tell me the dream and explain the dream." They couldn't. They kept asking about the dream. Then finally said, "Listen, guys, you are simply wasting time. You are trying to take time from me, and you are trying to postpone your death. No, I'm not going to give it time." So the next verse says, verse 9, "If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one degree for me, for you. For you have agreed to speak lying, uncorrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." Again, they are saying. However, when it comes to chapter 2, verse 16, "So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Which means, the wise men were asking time. King refused to give time. But Daniel is asking time. God is granting time. How do you see this? How do you contrast? How do you compare and contrast this? For some people, the king giving time. For some people, he is not giving time. And also, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and I'm reading 27 as well. Daniel chapter 2, I'm reading 11 and 12. Okay, 11 and 12. What's happening here? It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, okay, that's the key word. For this reason, the king was angry and very ferocious. What do you mean by for this reason? What did the magicians or the Chaldeans say? So that for this reason, the capital punishment was passed. Okay, let me read what they said. Verse 11. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very ferocious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Because so far, they were lying. And so far, they were trying to say Babylonian gods are the most powerful god. But now, in front of the king himself, they say, except Jehovah, no gods can explain or give your request. For this reason, he gave the command. I will read verse 27. So that you can understand exactly the theology in the second chapter. Although you know the dream and the interpretation of the dream, I would like to just bring some points for us to understand about the godly people and the ungodly people. What we have to say and what we should not say. How we have to exalt God. Okay, right, verse 27 now. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men and astrologers, the magicians and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. What those people said is exactly Daniel is rephrasing. That's exactly Daniel is, because those people said, no, these gods cannot reveal your dream and the interpretation of the dream. The same thing Daniel is also saying to the king, in the presence of the king. Okay, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days your dream and his vision of your head upon your bed. So how you can compare and contrast? Okay, how you can compare and contrast? We have to really discuss about it. Okay, number one, only God is God who can reveal secret and mysteries. Only God, our God, the Jehovah, who created heaven and earth. There may be some hidden things in your life. There may be some mysterious things happening in your life. You don't understand why it's happening. You don't understand why you dreamed the dream. You don't understand why you met that person. Sometimes you can't understand why that person brought me bitter experiences. But only if you go to God, God will reveal the secrets. And number two, only Daniel's God is the true God who is able to reveal the secrets. Okay, so when we read the Daniel chapter 2, verse 12, for this reason, which means they agreed they can't do it. So what is the end for the people? It is the beginning of God. Okay, what is the end for the people is the beginning of God. Sometimes we think that's it. Our life is over. Because of the sickness, we will die. When people try to write off, that is the beginning of God's work. So we have to understand something. What is the end of man? That's the beginning of God's work. What is impossible for man, that is possible for God. Okay? Question number three for discussion. How do you explain the prayer of Daniel? How do you explain the prayer of Daniel? Last lesson, when we studied about Nehemiah's prayer in the last quarter, actually. In the last quarter, we studied about Nehemiah's prayer. But this time, we are going to study about the prayer of Daniel. We need to be very, very clearly understand the prayer. It's supposed to be two-part, the prayer. Request to explain the dream. And number two, thanksgiving because he showed him the dream. Okay, but the request is not mentioned. Okay, let me explain that. Okay, Daniel goes for prayer. Okay, he tells his friends, okay, so much things is there, so we need to go and pray. Okay, for example, let me read from 16. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God. So the full prayer is not written in the book of Daniel chapter 2. It is only the thanksgiving. So where is the prayer? Where is the request? How did Daniel request? That prayer is not written here. Why? But rather, there's a very strange thing is here. Okay, verse 13 says, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. Okay, so they began to seek mercy. They were supposed to pray, Lord, Nebuchadnezzar has asked a request. So please explain the dream and the dream itself so that we will go and tell them so that our lives will be spared. But he did not say anything, but rather he told the friends, let's seek mercy from the Lord. What's going on here? What's going on here? Okay, Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 says, we are not yet perished because of his mercy. Okay, and here, the command is to kill the wise men. In few hours, Daniel and his friends and rest of the wise people going to be slaughtered, going to be killed. Now he is mentioning a word, mercy. And also, Lamentation says, we are not yet perished because of his mercy. Mercy is very, very important. Though the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, we are not perished because his compassion fail not. That's what in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. So every acceptance of the supplication, God hears and answers based on the mercy. That's why early morning's prayer is very important, because Lamentation 3rd chapter says, and his mercy is new every morning. Okay, so why the Daniel's prayer, the first part is not mentioned there? Because we have to understand the mercy of the Lord. What is his mercy? What does God's mercy do in my life? Okay, I did not die today because of his mercy. I'm seeing tomorrow because of his mercy. And God's mercy is new every morning. Okay, and also, let's see the second part of Daniel's prayer. Okay, starting from 20. The heart of prayer. Okay, we need to understand few things. Okay. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. Does it ring a bell somewhere? Okay. And he changes the times and the season. When you go to Daniel's writing in prophecies, you will understand that beast thought to change times and laws. So right in the beginning, when Daniel praises the Lord, he very seriously mentioned that for a reason, that only God can change times and season. Only God can change times and season. Because when you come to study Daniel chapter 7 verse 22, the beast tried to change the times and season. But who is actually responsible for time and season? It is God. Okay, what do you mean by time? In Daniel 2nd chapter, it is the time of punishment. It is the time of death, because the command is still inactive. Daniel still did not go there to explain. Now he is thanking God for that time, because he can change the time. So your time, my time, is in the hands of God. So we need to understand when we pray, Lord, thank you. And in fact, in Psalms, 90th Psalm, Moses' prayer. Sorry. Moses' prayer. Verse 7. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Okay, so even in the 90th chapter of Psalms, Moses here explains the time and the lifetime of every individual. Okay, in fact, in 12th verse, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Okay, so when Daniel here, he praises the Lord, he changes the times and season, he removes kings and raises up kings, he gives wisdom to the wise. See, this understanding of this prayer and thanksgiving is not originated in the lips of Daniel. It is down through the centuries. All God's people were praising God for the lifespan, for the time. Okay, so Daniel's prayer is about history, about time, about season, about law, which cannot be changed because God is the sovereign God. Okay, the time is running. Let me go to the fourth question. We have a few important things to study. How can we understand the dream an interpretation of the dream. Okay, we are not here. We are not here to go through all the statues and all the historical things, because you know about it. Daniel dreamed a dream, and there was a big image or statue, and it was very glorious. And the head was gold, and the arms and the chest were silver, and the belly was bronze, and the thigh and the leg was iron, and the toes were iron and clay. As he was seeing, a rock came and hit. So you know about all the stories. But I would like to bring up a point there. Okay, I would like to bring up a point here. Okay. So we are not here to go through gold, silver, bronze, iron, or iron and clay. But I would like to read a text in Daniel 2, verse 35. Okay, read 35. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Okay. So how can we understand this dream and the interpretation of the dream? Number one, the quality of the statue was dwindling, but the stone became a great mountain. Or the statue was decreasing, the mountain or the stone was increasing. Gold, okay, then less than gold or inferior to gold is silver. Inferior to silver is bronze. Inferior to bronze is iron. Inferior to iron is clay. You can see it is the quality of the statue is decreasing. But if you see in the 35th verse, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain. A stone becomes a mountain. Did you see the contrast between the statue and the stone? Actually, in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of Daniel, they saw a stone. But the stone was exalted, and it is progressing. A small stone becomes a mountain, but the big statue became nothing, became clay, mud, useless, priceless. We can understand our God is so loving and sovereign and powerful God. The world's kingdom will be deteriorated, but God's kingdom will be progressed always. So the quality of the statue was decreasing, but the stone was becoming great mountain. The gold finally becomes clay, but the stone becomes great mountain. Okay, the second thing, how we can understand the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Okay, second, the statue did not have place to go. Okay, again, the verse 35, I can read. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like a calf from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. The whole big glorious statue started from gold, end in clay. They did not have any place to live. But this stone, there was no more space to grow because it was filled the earth. That's it. No more place to grow. Okay, I'll finish that verse 35. Okay. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. so that the mountain could not be able to grow because there was no place. The earth was completely full. We can understand when you read the book of Revelation, book of Isaiah, God's kingdom will be filled. The knowledge of God will be filled upon the whole earth. So it is not only to understand the image and the interpretation of the image historically and biblically, but what is the deepest meaning in that? The world that we see will dwindle, will decrease, but God's kingdom will increase. The world history or the statue did not have any place to go, but the great mountain did not have any place to grow. We can understand what a wonderful God that we serve. Okay? So the wind carried the kingdoms away that no trace of them was found. Okay? And also I would like to read verse 44. That in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's the third point. Okay, the statue was destroyed, but God's kingdom will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's the everlasting kingdom. It is everlasting kingdom. This kingdom, God's kingdom, will never be perished. I will take you to Revelation chapter 11. I'll take you to Revelation chapter 11. You will see Daniel chapter 2 is still helping us to understand about God even today. Okay? Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 to 17. Okay? It's there. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Okay, it's the same thing in the book of Daniel. That small stone become big mountain. There was no other place to grow because it is filled with the earth. It cannot be destroyed any longer. And the kingdom is forever and ever. And Matthew chapter 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of this kingdom," what a wonderful text, Jesus himself says, okay, "and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, then the end will come." Which kingdom? That kingdom. So when we read about Daniel chapter 2, about the image and everything, okay, I praise the Lord for Seventh-day Adventist Church. Even children will explain the dream. However, we have to go one step further to see these four or five points in Daniel chapter 2 verse 35. The difference between the big statue, the glorious statue, and the difference between the stone. Mountainous stone. Cannot be destroyed forever and ever. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Which kingdom? Is a growing kingdom, prospering kingdom. "Then everything shall be added unto you." Finally, God not only told the dream and interpretation of the dream, but God also reveals how Nebuchadnezzar defeated Jerusalem. Okay, let's read 37 and 38. When Daniel explained, he did not stop explaining the dream, but Daniel goes little further and explained, "Nebuchadnezzar, don't boast yourself because you defeated us, because you besieged us." Okay, here is the truth, God say. Okay, 37 and 38. And, okay, let me read from 35. "This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. O you, O king, or the King of Kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom. So the kingdom is not because of your strength, because of your Babylonian power, because of your authority from your throne, but God gave you this kingdom and the power and the strength and glory. And whatever, wherever the children of men dwell, are the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this. So Daniel is trying to establish a point that, O king, you are actually nothing. Because what all you have is from God. What all you possess is from your God. Okay? I like it because it is God's kingdom. It is God who gives us the power and authority. Even for us in Matthew 28th chapter, go, all authority is given to me. Okay? All authority is given to us. I praise the Lord. For Daniel, he did not stop simply interpreting, explaining the dream, but he goes further so that Nebuchadnezzar should understand who gave Jerusalem to his hand, who gave Jews people into his hand, who gave the vessels into your hand, who gave the kingdom into your hand. It is God. Only from God, the power, the strength, and the glory, and the kingdom can come. So I praise the Lord for our Lord. How mighty God we serve. How magnificent God we have. How strong kingdom he holds. So Daniel's second chapter is not simply a dream and the interpretation. It's furthermore, it explains about the kingdom of God. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, seek first that kingdom, then everything shall be added. And preach that kingdom so that Jesus will come very soon. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful gospel. Continue to speak to us, O Lord, and help us to seek your kingdom first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.